Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interviews. I know.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the pits, we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
everybody, and happy Tuesday. Today on the show, Gary Parrish is going to join us. Chris Harrington is going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. He has a piece up on the potential Mike Conley deals. And Jessica Benson will be back for her third appearance on the show. She's now a regular on Tuesdays, which thrills me to know. And we'll, of course, get to the one story you've been waiting for.
And, Jeff, I've got some breaking news and breaking news on 99 FM.
Breaking
ESPN
news? What is it?
It is powered, of course, by Radio.com Sports. It's brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Drew Hill has released on Twitter that he has some personal news.
Really?
Quote, I'm joining the Daily Memphian as the new Memphis basketball beat writer. I'm extremely excited to get started with my new team and can't wait for the season to begin. So again, Drew Hill, formerly of the Commercial Appeal, has now made the decision to become the Memphis Tiger basketball beat writer for the Daily Memphian.
That's like, I mean, that's Anthony Davis type news right there. That's a seismic shift in the journalistic landscape.
And Adrian Wojnarowski didn't even have to break
it. And that's a Drew bomb. Mm-hmm. That's a Drew bomb. No, honestly, as someone who has made the same switch, I'm thrilled. One of the things, I will tell you this, after, it was about a year ago that a bunch of us left, right, to go to the Daily Memphian from the CA, and one of the things that I admired about the CA, and honestly, that from the Daily Memphian's perspective was good, was that it felt to us anyway, like in the wake of our departure, the CA was like, holy crap, particularly the people in Nashville were like, we can't continue to ignore Memphis. Like, this is ridiculous. We got to hire some good people. And so they put Mark Giannotto in my job, and that was depressing because we wanted Mark to come over to the Daily Memphian, but he's been great in my job, my old job at the CA. He's a really good columnist.
Not a bad radio co-host
either. Not a bad radio co-host either. Listen, it's getting a little cozy between us. We're now sharing jobs and radio producers, but be that as it may, not producers, he's co-host with you. And you're a virtual co-host here. But anyway, so that was irritating. But then they went out and hired Drew Hill. I'm like, who's this kid, Drew Hill? And he's been unbelievable. Like, he's a tremendous reporter, tremendous writer. He is the best in the city at covering Memphis basketball news. And so when it came time, the Daily Memphian keeps adding people, which is nice because it means we're doing okay. So we keep adding people. And I honestly, when this thing first happened, I said, when they said they were going to hire a separate, because Jonah Jordan's been doing a magnificent job of doing both football and basketball, but that's a lot. And so when they said they were going to hire a separate basketball writer, I said, well, the obvious person is like, take a run at Drew Hill. I never in a million years thought Drew would come over because he was a rising star with Gannett. And he elected to join us, and I'm absolutely thrilled. And this is Drew Hill. He's supposed to be taking a little time. You know how between jobs you're supposed to be taking a little time off?
No.
Normally people like say, I'm going to take a week off before I, it's like one time in life. When you're a student, you get summer vacations, right? In that high school or whatever. You get, there is time between. But once you get to be a grown up, there's no like, and so when you switch jobs, that's a time when you can relax.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Did you not switch? Did you go straight from the your
yeah? Before I joined podcast? You, before I joined you, I covered the Ole Miss game on Saturday. I moved from Oxford to Memphis on Sunday, and we started on Monday.
That's brutal.
And then on when the other one, I didn't take any when I got
okay,
moved.
Okay, you're doing it wrong. Allegedly, you're supposed to take a week off, and Drew
yes.
deserves at
to
least.
To your point. I convinced my parents it's the greatest scam I've probably ever pulled in my entire life. I convinced my parents that I'd worked so hard up till high school that I deserved a summer off before I went to college and then I was going to hit
right.
the ground running.
Beautiful.
Yeah. No, that was a scam.
So,
I just didn't want to get another job.
So I expected Drew to take, you know, a couple weeks off. But then Penny or whatever, the University of Memphis announces that today assorted selected freshmen will be available. They didn't identify who, but there's a press availability today at 2 o'clock. And you tell to do that, and he's like, screw vacation. I'm covering that. So he'll be covering that for the Daily Memphian. It's fun how in a whole universe where journalism is falling apart, it's fun in this city, both in the commercial appeal and in the Daily Memphian, to have journalism actually growing. Plus the Athletic came, honestly. So between the Athletic, the Daily Memphian, and the commercial appeal, the situation for readers and consumers of sports news in Memphis is vastly better than it was a year ago. And I will tell you that I don't want to make too hard a pitch here, but if you can read Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies and Drew Hill on the Tigers, not to mention all of the other stuff, of course, that we cover, for a mere $7 a month, now would be the time. Anyway, follow Drew on Twitter. He's going to be joining us later this week as well on this radio show. So shout out and congratulations to Drew. I admired him when I was when he was the competition, and I admire him now that he is joining us. All right,
at Drew Hill underscore DM.
At Drew Hill. That's a new handle. Underscore DM. So that's where you can follow Drew Hill. If you don't do it, you were doing it wrong. Go ahead, follow him right now. Follow him right now and send him a
congrats. Stop what you're doing.
Stop what you're doing. Listen, you can still listen to the show. Drew Hill underscore DM. Follow him right now. Send him a congratulations. Then go directly to the Daily Memphian website and subscribe for a mere $7.
Have those credit cards ready.
He's really good. He's really good. There's a lot of times when I wake up and think I'd written that. When I read Drew. So anyway, that's the breaking news of today. The other news, the stuff we have to get to. So I hope today you feel better than Mark does today.
I'm not sure.
Fair?
I think if you woke up today, you'd probably feel better than Mark did.
I was surprised. Were you surprised? I think Mark and a parade, you could have called it either way. You could have said you would get, Mark, I'm uninterested with this frivolity. Right?
Correct. I'm above this.
We
were supposed to win.
We just move the basketball to win the game, and it's not about winning. It's about process. And so I'm not going to – the fact that we won isn't going to – it's just about the process of basketball, and we played the right way. And you could have seen Mark being totally above it, right?
100%.
He was not. Were you surprised?
He was above the influence.
holy cow. Nice for his teams to be his players were spotters, you know.
That was great. Eric Moreland, there was a nice little clip on, I guess, whatever the Canadian broadcast was, and then you just hear this guy Canadian go, "Oh, he's got a spotter there."
Yeah. It was something else. Each clip better than the next.
It really was like that. Like, you're like, this guzzling, can't get any better.
It felt like Lausanne, Marc Gasol coming out.
That
wasn't.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure the Lausanne people recognized that mark. What an unbelievable sequence of events that got him to that moment. That the finally traded from the Grizzlies, the last appearance with the Grizzlies, the sitting in street clothes, the walking out, all that stuff.
His
right?
team was in first place at Thanksgiving.
And then
the Grizzlies.
And then he gets dealt. And he gets to this Toronto team, and let's be honest, it required two debilitating injuries on the part of the Warriors. I'm convinced of that. They might have won. Without the Clay thing, they might have won at home. They might have won Game 7, right? But it required two debilitating injuries, and next thing you know, you're guzzling Boone's Farm on a boat in Toronto. So that was fun. Okay, I have a series of questions about this, though, about the celebration. I mean, we'll get to the Mike Conley trade stuff as well. First of all, watching that, were you just happy for him, or was there a pang of, boy, I wish we could have seen that in Memphis?
No, in general, I was generally happy for him because also
and amused by it, really.
Correct.
As much
it was more for my own enjoyment.
It's just amusing.
Correct. My own enjoyment, and I don't know if we're ever going to see anyone top what Alexander Ovechkin did with the cup last year. Like, in general, I just think that's the gold standard of
celebration. That was a 2-month spree.
Correct.
Well, and then there's the Brett Hall recent stuff. But Brett wasn't even part of that damn team.
No, and I'm just talking about in terms of, like, pure joy.
Right.
I still think Ovechkin's the gold standard.
Like, well, and Ovechkin had been working for that cup with that franchise for forever. So there's more.
Correct.
Not that Mark wasn't being sincere, but there's more invested in Ovechkin's celebration. It meant more. It
completely
agree. As they say in the SEC, it just meant more.
Completely agree with you. But yesterday was the closest I've ever got. I was like, you know, there's enough cameras out there that this could be pretty good. Like, this won't be number one, but this could be a day to remember.
Okay. So you would know. I did. I just enjoyed it, too. I don't think I had any pangs. Okay, the second thing is he FaceTimed Mike Conley, okay, during this to bring Mike Conley along with him, evidently. If you're Mike Conley, would you want to have been included in that?
I've thought about this, and in general, I'm going to say probably not, because I can't think of anything more annoying than when your drunk friend calls you excited.
Well, that's true. But just generally, so I'm happy when my friends do well, right?
Sure.
I am happy when my friends do well.
I am too.
But if I want the same thing that they want, right? Do I want to be FaceTimed? Like, I'm sitting here. I've played for the crappy-ass Grizzlies for the last couple of years. I don't know where I'm being traded. I've watched Mark, and I'm happy for him. I'm legitimately, if I'm Mike, I'm legitimately happy for him, right? But there's also a jealousy aspect of it, clearly, right? I wish that were me.
Sounds like you're projecting here, Jeff.
And it's one thing when it's the game. But then when he's dragging you along on the drunken float...
It's a tough one.
I actually don't like. It's why I hate championship parades. And this is maybe small of me. I don't like seeing other people be happy. I don't like championship parades because I've never been able to have one as a fan. So every single championship parade basically irritates me, right? And then if it's Mark and I want the exact same thing, and let's be honest, he's not going to be traded to a champion. He's never going to have that parade. Do I want to be dragged? Honestly, like, I'll pretend. I'll say, yay, Mark. Yeah, this is great. This is great. But I'm not actually going to be thrilled. I would just as soon he leave me out of the damn parade.
Yeah, and I know what you're saying, and I think I tend to agree with it. I do think there's probably also a piece of Mike that's like us yesterday in which he's like, I do get the front row seat here. Like,
maybe. Yeah, but he's more invested. Okay, next question. Let's see, I'm 57. My dad is about to turn 99, okay?
He's probably 99.
So he's actually kind of deteriorating now. The other day, he, my sister was home, and he put eye drops in his eyes, okay? And he came down from upstairs, and he said, Virginia, that's my mom. He said, Virginia, I put these eye drops in my eye, but that seems weird. Are they eye drops? It was toothpaste.
In fairness, he did recognize right off the bat that that did not feel
and
like
so
eye drops.
Alan said he had white smeared mostly under his eyes, but he's becoming quite addled at 98. So, but let's just for the sake of sport, even though I've eaten much more press box food and barbecue, and I moved to the South, and my heart probably isn't anywhere in the condition that my dad's is. But let's pretend I get to 99. Okay.
And with the advances in modern medicine, 115, 120, so now the wrong possibility.
Let's say I get 40 more years.
Okay.
Okay, which is crazy. I probably won't. Let's say 30 more years.
All right.
Let's say I get 30 more years to 87.
Okay.
Will one of the two Memphis Major League teams, which is the Tigers and the Grizzlies right now, I'm just not going to count the Memphis 901 FC yet. It's not the height, right?
And the Redbirds have won titles.
Right, It's not the height. Or if there is a new team, expansion team that wins a title, we can count that one.
Okay.
But I don't see a new expansion team coming.
I don't even know what sport it would be.
So in the next 30 years, are either of those teams going to win a title?
I'm going to say no.
What's your thinking?
Number one, in terms of college basketball, I think it's so incredibly random. And I just think that at a certain point, the University of Memphis has been invested in basketball for a very, very long time. They still don't have a title. So I'm not saying that.
Don't you think their best chance to win a title in the next 30 years is probably the next 5 years?
I guess the argument would be, what do you think of the Grizzlies?
No. The Tigers next.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the Tigers over the next 30 years.
Yes.
Isn't their best chance to win a title in the next five?
Yes. I do think so. And then my
because it's going to be hard to imagine that there is a coach who comes in and recruits at a higher level than Penny.
Correct. Right? And my other point with that being is that Penny's going to recruit at the highest of high levels. And we've seen when you recruit, you know, when the formation of your two or three best players are one and done, it's very difficult to win a title.
Like, what percentage chance that Memphis wins a title in the next 30 years? Tigers.
I'd say 10, 1 in 10.
I think that's probably about right. I mean, 1 in 10.
I do not want anyone to
They've never won a title before. Why are we going to predict they're going to win a title? They've had a lot of great players. They had Penny Hardaway, for God's sakes, right?
Yes.
So, okay, what's the chances that they get to the Final Four?
I would say I'd say closer to 1 in 4, 25%.
We didn't have a Final Four parade. We had an NIT championship parade. We do not have a parade a Final Four, right? Okay, so, and then the Grizzlies, it's just unlikely, right? It's just most teams don't. Small market teams don't unless you're San Antonio.
Yes. I mean, if you look at the list of champions,
who else has? What are the? We're not calling Dallas small market.
I mean,
right?
Technically, at the time,
is Miami small market?
No, absolutely not.
Dallas
is like
one
of the top 10 markets. But in fairness, at the time, when the Warriors started doing what the Warriors were originally doing, which is drafting Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green,
They
weren't small market, but they were not. San Francisco didn't pay. Let's not act like
Steph
that they were.
Didn't want to come here. He did want to go there.
Well, sure, because you're still close to the Bay Area, but at the same time, that was the very last of all the in terms of interest of teams in the Bay Area. It was like them.
It was not a big glamour franchise. They had some run. They had the run where they knocked off Dallas or something in the first round 1 year, and they had Run TMC, and they had that. That was them, right? Yeah, they had.
Yes,
they've had some good years. They'd won a title, didn't they? Win a title in the 60s?
Yeah, they won in was it 60s or 70s?
I think they. Yeah, they won
75, 1975.
They hadn't won a title.
Yes, they'd won.
But there's, like, Milwaukee, they won a title. Didn't they win a title with Kareem?
Correct, they did.
They won a title with Kareem. Detroit won titles. They're not small market, but they're certainly not glamour market.
No, they're not glamour. But, I mean, at the time, Detroit
but just
was...
look at Atlanta. Atlanta's never won a title.
Sure.
Right?
Like here are the list of champions. Toronto. Golden State. Cleveland, I guess.
Yeah, that's LeBron, man.
Yeah.
You got LeBron.
San Antonio, Miami, Dallas, some place called Los Angeles, Angeles, Boston, Detroit, Chicago, twice in Houston, Philly, and then Portland's, I guess, the smallest market.
Smart, yeah. It's possible, but I think it's highly unlikely. So I don't think we'll likely have a parade in the next 40 years. Okay, next question. If we had a parade, there were 2 million people at that thing yesterday. And by the way, there was obviously a shooting. And from all accounts, although Mark seemed to be having a good time, the people in the crowd did not. If you read the Toronto papers, what a horribly organized, hot, no entertainment, no water. Like, people are not like, boy, what a great time that was yesterday.
It's almost like they jammed. And though Toronto's a big city, Toronto's a big city, like, when you put 2 million people in the same downtown.
It would be as if you took everyone in this entire metro area.
Yes.
And
possibly added another 800,000 people. Bless you. Sorry, I turned your mic off for the sneeze.
Where would that be? Where would we do that?
I mean,
we joke about let's plan the parade route.
Right.
Plan the parade route. Where would we do that?
I mean, to me, you're trying to also think of, like, not to get super propaganda-y, but, like, visuals matter in this thing. And I still think right now the coolest thing we have going is the visual now of Tom Lee Park face, like, when you are facing the new bridge. And to me, like, up Riverside Drive, I understand there's a nice incline. We'll make sure we go downhill for that. But to me, that seems like the best spot.
A lot of people would say Beale Street has to be included. Does Beale Street have to be included?
Fine. We'll go up Riverside, whatever. We'll go down Riverside Drive, and then we'll hang a right. And then, yes, I'm sorry, we're going to have to go uphill at some point.
Uphill?
To get to Beale.
I thought you go down Beale.
Right. So, no, what I'm saying is, okay, well, let's start at the top of Riverside Drive heading, what direction would that be, north? Yeah, heading north.
Uh-huh. And then you want to go up Beale?
Yeah, so we go down.
So down the Riverside around the curve.
Right. So we're going towards the bridge.
We're going towards the new bridge. You're on the beautiful view.
Exactly. Because I think that's an awesome view.
You're starting up at the top of Riverside Drive.
Correct.
Gathering up there somewhere.
Correct.
You're coming down the big curve.
Yep.
You're then taking a right on Beale?
Yeah. And then that way, and then
you take a right on Beale, you go up Beale?
Yeah, and then you finish down Union? I would start at the top of Riverside, and I would finish at the plaza in front of the Forum. I think those are two.
I thought you said you wanted to be up at Tom Lee Park.
Well, we're starting at the top of Riverside. We're going down, so we're going.
Where do you want to end up?
Either Tom Lee or in front of the Forum.
I don't think in front of the Forum is big enough.
I think you're probably right. So we'll end up in Tom Lee. So I guess you have to start at Tom Lee. Maybe start at Beale? And then go down?
Go down.
Yeah.
I think start at the somewhere up there and go down Beale Street and then, make your way to Tom Lee Park and just have a big party at Tom Lee Park.
Who's with me? Right? Who says no?
I mean, the only places to gather. Okay, you could do it at the fairgrounds, but let's be honest. We don't want to do that, right? It's drab.
It's not even that. It's just like, okay.
It's in the middle of, I mean, it's just not. No, we don't want to go on Parkway and whatever.
It's like in between release patterns, as Tiger Woods would say. Like, it's not downtown. It's not midtown. It's just kind of there.
We can't gather there. The other places to gather would be in front of City Hall. Isn't there a big plaza there?
There is. It's not nearly as big as you think.
And it's not that attractive.
And it's just kind of, I don't know, like, it's not really a
gathering place.
It's not a bad building, but it's just kind of a
nest. So then there's the plaza in front of the FedEx Forum, and you think that is too small. I think it's too small. We aren't going to get 1.5 million people, but I think you could get several hundred thousand people.
Yes, and you're right. It's too small.
And so I think you're then talking about, I think you want to end up at Tom Lee Park.
Yes, I think that makes the most sense.
Okay. I was going to ask you about the Grizzlies and the trade situation with Utah, but we will do that next. We got Gary next, and then we got Chris Harrington, and so we will talk about both of those things with them. Jeff Calkins Show on a Tuesday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you want wings in Memphis, they're not hard to find. There are dozens of places all over town. The Wing Guru is but one. And yes, the Wing Guru is a little more expensive than most other wing joints. And yes, the Wing Guru might take a little longer to get your wings to your table than most other wing joints. But guess what? It's worth it. The fresh ingredients, the premium oils, and the cook-to-order approach make it all worth it. This is Gary Parrish asking a simple question. Do you want okay wings or great wings? Do you have the patience necessary to get the perfection you desire? If so, pop into one of the Wing Guru's two locations and experience it for yourself. One is at 5699 Mount Moriah. The other is at 7199 Stage Road. And if you can't make it to either location for whatever reason, just have the Wing Guru delivered by ordering via DoorDash at wingguru.com. That's thewingguru.com. Do yourself a favor and go see what everybody in the city is talking about. A locally owned wing franchise launched by University of Memphis basketball legend Billy Richmond. If you take pride in supporting local, support the Wing Guru. That's the Wing Guru online, thewingguru.com. Again, thewingguru.com.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome five cheese mac and cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. Participating locations only, Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
You and me, we take care of our cars. But do you follow Fram's rule of threes? Three filters to do the job right. Oil and air filters for improved engine performance. Cabin air filter for the air inside your car. Some rules are made to be broken, but this one is golden. So if you don't see Fram, don't expect to get the job done right. One easy rule, three great filters. Fram, filter out the nonsense.
Fast, reliable internet. Is that important to your business?
We couldn't work without it.
At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, how about automatic 4G LTE backup for complete reliability?
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected and bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without EcoBill and autopay offer in 6/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to update hours.
JJ Hottail here. As an ex-professional race car driver, I'm used to taking risks, which isn't always so good when it comes to driving off the track.
Uh-oh.
But that's why I'm insured by Direct Auto and Life Insurance. I can get a great rate regardless of my driving history. They understand that nobody's perfect. Hello, officer. Save up to 25% with discounts at Direct Auto. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today.
Direct General Group, Nashville. Rates vary. Discounts subject to limitations, terms, and conditions. How you buy impacts cost.
The meat genius at Papa John's, who decided to put their barbecue meats and pizza together.
Yeah, who do you love?
I told you. The genius who made barbecue meats pizza and barbecue chicken and bacon pizza. Just $12 each for a large.
Yeah, who do you love?
Okay, settle down. Fall in love for yourself with our barbecue pies. Just $12 each for a large. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's. At participating U.S. stores, taxes and delivery fee extra.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Affordable plan in Memphis is the place to go. Now, seriously, like, you don't want to, like, let's say you need new blinds, shades, or shutters. You got two options here. You could go over to Lowe's, and you could stare at the stuff and try to figure out, like, you know what you're doing and pretend and whatever else. Get your ruler out and measuring stick and make a mess of the whole thing, and it won't look great, and you won't know what you're doing. And or you could contact Chip Wiggins. You could contact the professional. And he will he does all the initial consultations himself. He'll come to your house. He'll measure everything. He will show you all the options. He will give you an estimate. And within 1 to 3 weeks, if you want to proceed, it shall be done. Simple as that. 753-5822, 753-5822. They call them affordable blinds because they're affordable. Also, highest quality, best price, quickest service. Go to their Facebook page, Affordable Blinds and Shutters Facebook page. And, like, there's no commitment to doing this. Just pop over there, see what they got. And or you can go to their website, affordablebindsinmemphis.com, or just do what I told you. Call Chip Wiggins, 753-5822, and set up an appointment now. I am joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary Parrish is host of the GP Show from 4 to 6 every single day, college basketball columnist for CBS Sports, a multiple Emmy-winning personality, rising star in the field of meteorology, and happens to be in studio. GP, how are you?
I'm good. Look at me. I'm in studio with you.
Look at you. You're in studio with me.
I was in the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I got a terror. I'm on with you every day at 5 o'clock.
5:09, usually.
5:09, and sometimes I never know where the conversation's going. Yesterday, I confessed that I wanted O.J. Simpson to kill himself.
Yes. And that you wanted him to sleep with Kim Kardashian when she was 12.
And someone said to me, how many people have you wished to kill themselves, and are they all black?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like,
so what is the number?
Well, I had to reflect on that for a moment, and I thought,
over under six.
Well, at first I would say the number's one, and they are all childhood heroes of mine who played for the Buffalo Bills, who I didn't want to see go through a trial. Like, I would want them to, with all due respect, It's the blue thing. It's the blue and it's the buffalo was why I wanted to kill himself, not the color of his skin. Having said that, I think about it, and every time a white dude commits mass murder, I think it's better at the end when he kills himself. Like, those are mostly all white dudes who commit mass murder.
Yeah,
right?
Weird.
Isn't it better when they kill themselves? Like, isn't it? I don't want to have them dragged. Like the Las Vegas dude killed himself, didn't he?
No, he was. No, I think he did shoot it. I think they shot him and then he shot himself.
Okay, ended up dead.
He's dead.
Right result.
I'm not mourning him. Yeah, I don't.
Charleston guy did not kill himself.
He did not. He's very much alive.
Right. Does it help?
I don't know if it helps. I would imagine it helps in this way. It allows you to tap that a little louder if you could, so it'll be more distracting.
If you just want me to kill myself, tell me. Like, if you just want me to kill myself, tell me.
Take this pen and stab it in your neck. Let me make the argument for it's better if they live, because then you can talk to them.
Well, there was that famous scene in Charleston where the survivors got up and said, "I forgive you."
Yeah, well, that is certainly a thing, because it can bring closure for them, I suppose. But the other thing, the one I was referencing, is maybe you can learn what happens to these people. How does somebody go? At some point, this person was a normal person, or you know, at some point, this person was loved by a mom. Right.
That person was welcomed in the world, came out of the womb. Look, a baby. I got a baby.
And what happened?
What happened?
Maybe.
Did we learn from talking to him?
I think we probably learned hatred and mental illness.
Right.
And guns being readily available.
It's actually one of the reasons. I mean, I'm going to get to Mike Conley here in a moment. But
Are you at on Mike Conley living?
It's one of the reasons that I think this whole, the death penalty thing. I'm anti-death penalty, right? But two reasons. One is, turns out we're wrong a lot.
We're wrong a lot. That's why you should be. If you're anti-death penalty, it's not because you don't like the idea of a horrible human dying.
For his, right. It's because
we mess up.
And I'm sure
we kill innocent people.
We have
people.
Killed. Yes. They may actually be crappy people, but they didn't do that thing.
They didn't deserve to die for the thing that you thing killed them for.
That has certainly happened in our history, sure. Which is shameful. Okay. To me, though, the other thing is it takes 52 years to kill someone. So this idea that it brings closure, it seems to me, and hopefully I'm never in this position, that a loved one of mine is, you know, whatever, that I'm wanting someone to die. It seems to me that what happens is if you're the relative of someone who's been killed heinously and you're rooting for the murderer to die, you spend the next 40 years, far from closure, you literally spend the next 40 years of your life every day wondering when this effort is going to finally die.
Right.
It prolongs, it seems to me, I'm not, who am I to presume?
Right.
It seems to me it prolongs the agony.
Yeah, whereas if you just put life in prison,
done.
There's nothing to think about. There's no update.
Yep.
Oh, so what happened to that guy? He's still serving life
right.
in prison. There's no update. Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm anti-death penalty for reasons stated, but that's another one I can sign up for that as well.
Okay. Do you want my comment?
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, first let's go to the parade thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where would we have our celebration? Honestly, do you believe in the next, I gave myself 40 years to live, 57, 67, 70, 30 years to live, 30 years to live. I'm going to give myself to 87. My dad's 99. I could have 40, but I'm going to say 30 years to live. Okay?
30 would take me to 72. Can I get to 72?
Yeah, you can get to 72.
I don't know.
If I get to 87, you can get to 72.
I don't feel like I'm on pace. I don't feel like
it. In the next 30, will we have a title?
No. I mean, I hope so, but if you were betting, I think the odds are against it.
Yeah. What would you set the odds at?
I mean, I don't know, but it like...
How do you say this? Like a plus 225? What do you say? Like,
yeah, like plus 400, something like that. I mean, it is...
10% chance.
Yeah,
the Grizzlies aren't going to win a title, right?
The only way you win a title in Memphis is if you get lucky in the draft maybe three different times. I mean, that's right. What it takes. I mean, that's what happened with Golden State.
Could New Orleans win a title now? Even that, they got rid of the best player. They're on path to be really good for 10 years, I think.
Yeah, no, they have to.
But
get,
they're not on path to win a title.
They have to get another Zion,
and Zion has to be Zion.
Zion has to be Zion. Then they have to get another Zion, and then they have to get something close to Zion. I mean, that's what happened.
Plus,
Golden State
has to get hurt,
right? And Kevin Durant has to rupture his Achilles,
right?
Like that's the way it works. In Golden State, they got lucky on Steph.
Yep, that's your one Zion.
They got lucky on Clay.
That's your second Zion.
They got lucky on Draymond.
Right, and then they added, and then they of course they won
but
a title.
They won
there.
A title with that.
They got three. They hit three superstars.
This is the thing about
three
the NBA
them.
Today.
Yeah, boom.
The two is not enough. Two won't get you there, unless Kevin Durant and Clay Thompson get hurt. Toronto just
and
got
they've
there.
They've
got
to be. Let's be clear. Let's Jaren Jackson Jr. We think is going to be a good player, and we're going to hope that Ja Morant's a good player. But we're talking Kawhi Leonard level player. We're in order to get there with two or three players, you need them to be Steph level, LeBron level, Kawhi level.
You don't need to,
Jason Tatum level, which is what you know with Jaren Jackson. Like, yeah, just being an All Star is not enough.
No.
You know, Chris Bosh could not do it until he was an All Star, but he couldn't do it until he's with two much better All Stars.
You better have two top 10 players. Or one top three guy, and then a couple of top 20 guys. But it takes an
Dirk top five guy at the time he did it.
Right.
That was pretty good.
That was also wildly unexpected.
Right.
And
not a blueprint.
No. That's like, not to go back to the tubby years, but when people would point to Rick Barnes' Tennessee team and say, but he doesn't have any top 100 players.
Right.
And look, they're about to win the SEC. I would say that is true. That is amazing. I wouldn't try to replicate that. If you're Memphis or Tennessee, it's not normal. What they did is not normal. And the Dirk Mavericks title was not normal.
Okay. So unlikely, I think for the Tigers, next 7 years, of these 30 that we're going to give ourselves to live, of the next 7 years, probably the best chance to win a title. Because Penny's recruiting at a level no coach has ever recruited before, right? This is maybe the next 5 years, best chance to win a title, probably next 30 for either team.
Yeah, I would agree with that because, you know, just take the name off of it, you know, whether it's Memphis, Duke, Kentucky. When you enroll prospects at this level, it automatically puts you in the conversation. And I know.
Although you always say that. I'm not doubting that. When you have the number one class, does it matter the caliber of the number one class? In other words, number one classes are not all created equal, just like number one draft picks are not all created equal.
No, but they are usually similar. Like what Duke just did with Zion and Cam Reddish and R.J. Barrett was unusual because that was, according to some recruiting services, the 1-2-3 prospect in America. That had never happened. But the number one class is usually...
Memphis is not atypical for a number one class?
It's a normal number one class.
Okay, so if they win a title in the next 5 years, we're calling it now, next 7 years, by the way,
I would also deem that wildly unlikely, but when you get the caliber of players consistently, very possible. It's much easier to imagine than it is a Grizzlies title because with the Grizzlies, you're not in charge of your own roster. You can't just go out and get the number one.
Look at the Knicks, how they struggle.
No,
look at the Knicks. They're in damn New York City. They can't do a damn thing.
Or look at Minnesota. You know, they get Karl Anthony Towns. It's like, oh, wow, he's the next great thing. They've done nothing.
Kevin Garnett.
Nothing. Right.
Generational studs.
Hall of Fame level guys, and you can't do anything with them. Anthony Davis in New Orleans, nothing.
Nothing.
You have to have at least two to compete and probably three.
If you have two, maybe you can get a third from somewhere.
Right.
Okay. Where's our parade? Where's our celebration?
Memphis is such a downtown-focused city.
Clearly downtown.
Yeah.
But where are we ending up? Town Lee Park?
I think that's the...
Or the plaza? Or the plaza in front of City Hall? Or, like, those are the only places, aren't they? Like, where are the spaces? The plaza in front of FedEx Forum?
I don't believe the plaza in front of... It's not big enough.
No. Plaza in front of City Hall is not...
We're not going down there.
They're not going down there.
We're not going down there.
They got that fountain.
Yeah, but I don't need that. it's clearly Tom Lee Park. Right. You set up a stage in Tom Lee Park.
It's not even a parade. It's like the barbecue fest only with Grizzlies.
Right. And more access.
More access.
Yeah, you can go wherever you want to go freely. You can have a parade. You know, bring it down Poplar, and then I think take a left on Riverside.
I think you want to go down Beale. You don't think you want to go down Beale?
I sort of like driving down Poplar to downtown. That's my favorite. Like, there's a place on Poplar where when you get and you see the bridge and everything, it looks really nice. So I go down Poplar and then hang a left, maybe like on Danny Thomas or something.
Right.
Although that could get iffy. I don't know what I'm getting us into here. But you take a left somewhere there and then come down Beale
and then go to Stanley Park.
Right.
Okay.
That makes sense to me.
We'll do that. The Memphis Grizzlies are supposedly in trade conversations with Mike Conley.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with this: is that it's with Utah, evidently.
Right. And they have they have no good young players.
Well, they got the 23rd pick.
Right.
It's a crappy ass draft.
It's a pick in the 20s, and then the only good young player they have is Donovan Mitchell, and you know he's not a part of it. So, yeah, I don't love it.
Well, what if it's two firsts, and the second first is like next year's unprotected first.
Yeah, good. It'll be 25.
That's the thing.
Right.
I don't even know that you can get it, but they're going to, with that team, with Gobert and Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, they're going to be in the 20s again. Right. But not perceived to be a particularly deep draft. I don't even know if you can get those two number ones.
Well, let's say you can get those two number ones. Yeah, I don't care about them. I mean, like, here's the thing. We were talking about number one recruiting classes. Are they all the same? First round pick sounds great, but how different is the 29th pick than the 33rd pick? Like, not at all.
They just gave away two low seconds for Justin Holiday, for God's sakes.
Right. So I would argue this.
It's funny, people like Grayson Allen's slaw. Well, he was a first round pick last year, wasn't he?
Right. 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah. Now he's just nothing.
That's the way it works.
That is what they typically are if you're picking in the 20s.
Right. You usually get nothing.
You're planning to trade Mike Conley for Grayson Allen or the equivalent.
If you get – how about this? If you got two first-round picks from Utah this year and next year, they wouldn't be drastically different than the two second-round picks the Grizzlies gave away to get Justin Holiday. So I don't like the Utah scenarios. If I can get excited – somewhat. By the way, when you're doing a deal like this, you're never going to be on the...
You're never going to be on the winning side of it.
Right. Not in real time. You can look up 2 years from now and be on the winning side of it, like the Pacers might have been with the Paul George trade. But in real time, it's never going to feel like you're on the right side of it. So you just do what you do. But I like the... In terms of the hypotheticals, I like the hypothetical Boston deals and the hypothetical Pacers deals more than I like the hypothetical Jazz deals.
Well, Peter Edmiston was tweeting about it, and he said, I want the Jazz deals, but push the pick off to unprotected in 2025 or something, right? They're not giving you that.
Right.
Like, I mean, I hate to say, yeah, do that if you can, but they're not giving you that. They're not stupid. Like, Grizzlies gave an unprotected pick for Jeff Green, right?
Right.
They're not unprotected, but it became unprotected. They're not doing that. They're not giving you, no. And that's the problem. There was some theory yesterday that the whole report smacked of the Grizzlies trying to release this to drum up other Grizzlies close to a deal with Utah, so step up with your best offer.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, do real people fall for that?
oh, did you see this report from Shams? We better offer three first.
Yeah, like I know that that's a thing, but like if we got it figured out here, don't you think the Pacers front office understands that as well?
Like I think you probably know.
Yeah, I don't know that like leaking things to drum up interest works anymore. But whatever, you know.
That is funny if we figured it out here.
Yeah.
I think they're duped in the
meantime, Danny Ainge is like, well, Jesus, we gotta get on this. Woj just reported that Utah's really stepping up to the plate.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they do. I don't how would I know?
Okay, well what let me ask you this. What if you look around? Let's be clear. Mike clearly wants out.
Sure.
And it feels like it's time.
Sure.
And I think everyone feels that. That's one reason the offers are going to stink. They're like, they're drafting a point guard, drafting John Morant. They're going to have DeLon Wright. They don't need Mike. Mike wants out. We're not going to offer him much. What if you just say, screw it. We're not going to trade him for this. We're going to keep him. Not forever, but we're going to keep him for now. And we have to the deadline to trade him. There's no need to trade him now. We talked about how with Mark it would have been awkward to bring him back. And we talked about with Mike, less awkward because he's such a good guy. I actually do think that it would be awkward to bring Mike back. Not because he would make it awkward.
Right.
It's just, you know, you're in this limbo. If he comes back to start training camp, you got Mike there. It's weird, isn't it? Like, you know he wouldn't want to be there.
It's weird. Here's the way you would sell it. Is you'd say to Mike, listen, we have options for you right now. We don't love any of them. And some of them are two bad teams.
And you probably don't love them either.
Yeah,
you want to go to Detroit?
Yeah,
right.
You wouldn't like them either. So you've always been a good soldier. We don't have to tell you to continue to be. We know you will be. And at the trade deadline, the only teams that will be interested in you
are good ones.
Are good ones. The only teams that will want you at the deadline will be teams that are making a push for the playoffs or setting themselves up for a championship, and just like Toronto with Mark. And so stick with us. Put your arm around Ja. Spend as much time with him as you can. And
we're going to play up tempo. We're going to be able to put up big numbers.
Yeah, we'll move take you off the ball sometimes. You can be a shooter.
And we'll try to deal with it by the deadline.
And then at the deadline, we will move you at the deadline. One way or another.
We'll get the Toronto. We'll try to find Toronto for you next Toronto for
right.
you.
Right. And there will be more urgency on those teams then because they feel like they're actually pushing for something. Like it's like, oh wow, we're the two seed in the East. You know, we're right there. We're one player. Like if the Pacers look up and genuinely think at the deadline, we're one player away from winning the East. Let's go do this. We'll be able to get a better deal for you and you'll be in an unbelievable situation. I'm not saying that's the priority or even the first option, but I do think you can reasonably make that case.
Utah offers you whatever. The core of the deal is their next two number ones. So you get the second number one that they were supposedly unwilling to give you at the deadline. So this time they're giving you two number ones. This year's and the next year's. Next year's is what it is. If you keep Mike, you have this whatever awkwardness there is, but I like your explanation. You also honestly have the risk that Mike is going to get hurt.
Right.
In which case, you then get nothing for him. And by the way, then he opts into the last year, and then you've got another year of him on your books, and you got 2 years of highly paid Mike injured, et cetera. There is the injury risk.
Sure.
Would you take the two ones?
Maybe, but I don't love it. I taking into account everything you just laid out, you have to seriously consider it. But I would be disappointed if the return on Mike Conley was basically a couple of first round picks that have, relatively speaking, very little value. I wouldn't love that at all. I would be on the phone with Indiana. I'd be on the phone with Boston. I'd be on the phone with anybody else to try to even if I convince myself we're going to do this, by Thursday night we're doing this. If we don't have anything else, I'd be working like crazy to get anything else. That does not, it's just not exciting. I mean, at 23, right. What do you, go draft Grant Williams? You know, like it's right. Not, you're not usually, you can get a difference maker there. You almost never do.
Even a good draft, you rarely do. But yes, in a okay. Last thing, I don't know how many more mocks you've done. How many mocks have you done?
Too many.
So did you update it in the wake of the deal? Did you?
Yes,
and who are you giving New Orleans now with that pick? Are you?
I gave them DeAndre Hunter while acknowledging they probably won't make the pick. But since it's their pick right now, I would just take best prospect available. And in my opinion, and I'm in the minority here, but in my opinion, in a three-player draft, take those three dudes off the board. I'd take DeAndre Hunter next. I just don't see why he's not going to be good. It's weird to me. Like that people, he comes from an incredible program. And that's not the most important thing. You know, Markel Fultz came from Washington. Ben Simmons came from LSU, whatever. But he came from an incredible program. He was the NABC Defensive Player of the Year this past year. So he's great on that end of the court. 6'7", guards multiple positions. And then shot 42% from three, 6'7", scored 27 in the national championship game against literally the best defensive team in America. Like, what is the problem? I don't understand why. For me, DeAndre Hunter is the guy people are going to go, why did we not think he was a top five pick? So I would go DeAndre Hunter 4. And then after that, I think it you could even argue that after 3, it gets sort of wide open. But I would go DeAndre Hunter 4 to the Pelicans or whoever picks 4. And then after that, I mean, the next 5 picks could go in any order, and it would be
you think
reasonable.
You like him clearly 100 better than Culver.
They played each other in the national championship game, and he destroyed them on both ends of the court. I mean, that's not, again, right. But, like, that did happen. It's not the end all, but it did happen. You know, you don't have to wonder what DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver would look like. We watched it, and Hunter got 27 on one end of the court and bothered Jarrett Culver consistently on the other end of the court. And so I say, like, people I respect who do mock drafts who have Culver going higher than DeAndre Hunter, but it's just, and I like Culver, but it's just hard for me to get there.
It's funny. I'm looking at I think this is yours. This is a CBS Sports mock draft. It may or may not be yours. At 23, someone over there has Bol Bol going 23. Do you like him or do you not like him?
I like the idea of him. I wouldn't, I mean, I might do him at 23.
Right.
But I wouldn't do him in the lottery. I mean,
no, that's what I'm talking about. 23, like at 23, Grizzlies Utah's pick.
Except I don't know that the Grizzlies are really in the, I don't know, maybe. I might just roll the dice and say, hey, we're getting a top five unique talent in the world. My fear with him is that he's 7'2".
He's breakable.
Well, he's coming off a broken foot, so he's broken, or at least he was. He's repaired.
He's a 7'2" shooter.
With a high center of gravity, he's awkward. He's not like Kevin Durant is 7'1" and Bol Bol is 7'2", but if you watch them move around, they don't move anything like each other. So in a game that's constantly going shorter, where the Warriors put Draymond at the 5, where the Pelicans are going to use Zion at the 5, how does Bol Bol stay on the court? You bigs have never in the NBA been this devalued, and bigs who can't guard and, you know, who can't switch pick and rolls and guard in space, they can't play.
How about Carson Edwards with that 20? I'm thinking Grizzlies pick 20s.
Yeah, I mean, any of those guys, it's total, you're throwing darts. They could become rotation players for you, but more than likely are just going to be guys that you look up. I mean, look at every draft. How about this? Today on CBS Sports HQ at 11 o'clock, we're redrafting the 2018 NBA draft.
Okay.
And you get outside of about 8.
And you don't want anybody.
It's like, what? Like, what am I doing here? Mitchell Robinson? And Mitchell Robinson was fine. Like, you look at it, like, you do, because I've been.
Mitchell Robinson's pretty good.
I stayed up last night, like, studying these guys. Mitchell Robinson's pretty good, but, like, Mitchell Robinson might really be the 7th or 8th best guy from last year's draft. Every draft is like that. There's a handful of dudes.
And then it's the rest.
And then it's just like, whatever. Like, I think if you go back in any draft and start redrafting it, you'll go, ooh, I love this one. Ooh, two is awesome. Three, woohoo. And you get to about eight, and you're like, I don't even want – is this guy even in the league?
Right.
You just don't want him anyway. It's like that's the way the draft usually works. So I like the idea of Carson Edwards. I could also see him getting to the NBA. And he's
out of the NBA in 2 years.
He's just a little guy who can't play point guard.
Right.
So, like, go light it up in China.
All right, GP, I will talk to you at 5 o'clock.
I'll
Thank
be
you
here.
Very
Bye-bye.
Much. Redeemers Group, by the way. Redeemers Group, if you are noticing cracks in the walls of your home, floors that are sinking or sloping a little bit, you could have a foundation problem. And if you do, you have a serious problem and you need to get in touch with Redeemers Group, local company. It's been serving the Mid-South for more than a decade, dealing with all the big stuff. Foundation repair, crawl space repair, basement waterproofing, concrete leveling. You got water coming into your house anywhere. Call Redeemers Group. I've got a friend who came over. They sealed it right up. Phone number, 541-8765. The initial consultation is 100% free. Plus, if you mention my name, Jeff Calkins, you get an additional $50 off the project. If you don't want to proceed, again, it'll cost you not a single penny to have their expert analyses. Phone number 541-8765, Redeemers Group. It is on the web at redeemersgroup.com. When we come back, Chris Harrington has a piece up at the Daily Memphian. We'll talk to him about this Mike Conley stuff and everything else next. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, this is Gary.
Tap into your inner eagle and spread your wings with Yuengling Traditional Lager. The bold amber color, 190 years in the making, all-American brew. Brewed for good times with classic flavor and delicious taste. Yuengling Traditional Lager is a true original. So plug in, rock out, and let the night take flight. Because Yuengling Traditional Lager is good to the last sip and good to the last call. What are you waiting for? Reach for the brew that was made with good times in mind. Tap into your inner eagle. Yuengling Traditional Lager. Spread your wings.
Spread my wings.
DG Yuengling, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please drink responsibly.
Hey, this is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about Cooper Systems for years, the amazing work that Lee and Lauren Cooper have been doing at Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah office park. In fact, for 8+ years, because Cooper Systems, they've been a sponsor of the Gary Parrish Show since day one, and they've never left. That's a testament to them. It's a testament to you, and you've heard me tell you about the great work they're doing at Cooper Systems for a long, long time. Now it's time to hear from you guys.
Got a great deal on an Apple Mac from Cooper Systems. Literally half the price of the big box stores. I just searched before I heard about Cooper.
The road a lot, and one day my laptop got the epic blue screen of death, and I thought I lost all my files. Cooper Systems was able to retrieve everything and even installed a new drive to make my computer faster and better than ever.
I'm one of those people Gary always refers to as the looking up stuff you're not supposed to guy. Yep, that leads to computer viruses. Cooper can take care of you, and like the ad says, they won't judge you.
That's Cooper Systems. Call them 360-9679 on the web. You can check them out at coopersystems.com.
There are few rites of spring more satisfying than the annual deep clean, but many homeowners fail to include their air conditioning system in this ritual. There are a lot of low-priced tune-up offers out there, but your air conditioning system is a big investment, so be sure you're trusting its maintenance to professionals, like Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning. Since 1970, we've been providing quality service at reasonable prices. Schedule your $95 precision air conditioning tune-up today at 365-4260 or visit us at landmarkheatingandair.com.
With IKEA, you can send your kids off to college with a new Alex desk, setting them up for any scenario. Like when the cafes are full, it'll be their quiet haven. Or after heated debates, it'll be a place to cool down. Or when they don't answer their phone, it's probably just under all those books. Call me.
Get 20% off all desks. Offer valid for IKEA family members in U.S. stores only from June 5th through 23rd. While supplies last. Visit your IKEA store or IKEA-USA.com for details. IKEA, make the dream yours.
Down home, nobody leaves the table hungry. Put food on your table tonight with Church's Real Big Family Deal. 12 pieces of chicken, legs and thighs in original or spicy, and two large sides for just $15. Church's, bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Gina never smoked, was healthy, and did everything right. At 38, she got stage 4 lung cancer without even having symptoms. Anyone with lungs can get lung cancer, the most lethal and least funded cancer. Read Gina's story and help support lung cancer research at linksforlungsmemphis.com.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Next stop, Bram Street.
And Brian in the khaki shorts, your GNL energy bill went up 60% this month. Seems like you'd want to know. Stand clear of the closing doors.
So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong, like increases to a recurring bill, then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Limitations apply.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookson, the owner, has won 8 world championships. She was the first woman inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. She's the reason USA Today said a visit to Memphis Barbecue Company is, quote, worth the pilgrimage. I've personally been going there for years. You need to get there and taste it for yourself. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Landers Auto Sales. They got a large inventory, over 300 vehicles to choose from, like the 2018 Jeep Wrangler, which is exactly what I'm in right now.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.